My children, do not stray from the path that I have placed your feet upon. Make sure that each and every day it's all about me. Take me with you. Take me with you in your heart. Take me with you in your tongue, for it's all about me. Many trials, many tribulations await my chosen ones. Days will be long and days will be hard. But if you make it all about me, my joy, the joy of the Lord, will bubble up deep within inside, and you will go forth with victory on your lips. Remember this one thing. My son Jesus hung on that cross so you could be free. Remember him, remember his name, remember his blood, because it's all about him. Nothing else, no substitutes. It's all about my son Jesus. You could do nothing without him. You could do nothing without his blood or his name. My Holy Spirit comes to dwell deep within inside of you. He is rich with the message from heaven. He wants to lead, guide, and direct your each and every footstep. He wants to be the one to tell you, turn this way or turn that way. For it's all about me. It's all about the Godhead. Without the Godhead, nothing is possible. I am with you this night. I am here to lead, guide, and direct you in this new path that I have your feet upon. Many trials, many tribulations await you in the days and the months ahead. But be like Paul. Do not be concerned what lies before you. Be concerned that it's all about me. Be concerned that I have you in my everlasting arms. And it matters not what the enemy throws your way. I am with you. I will keep you safe from all harm. You are my disciples. You are my chosen ones. You are the ones that I am sending forth in this dark, dark world to do a great and a mighty work for the kingdom of light. You will bring the light, I promise. And you will dispel the darkness, I promise you that. But I also promise you one other thing. No matter what, always make it about my son Jesus. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. That should be your motto 24/7. There should never be a time when you serve the dark side. There should never be a time when you give in to the weaknesses of your flesh. If it's all about me, I promise you, the flesh will become strong. In fact, the flesh will disappear, and my spirit that resides within you will become strong within you, and it will lead God and direct you out of the pits that the enemy is trying to take you into. Fear not, and you will not fail. I am not a God of fear. I bring peace, I bring love, and I bring joy, but I don't bring fear. When you start walking in fear, then you have not made everything all about me. You're yielding your flesh to the things of this world. Turn, my little ones, turn, and make it all about me, and let you and I complete this race. Let you and I bring in this great harvest of lost souls. You know, as after God through speaking to us, I just had a vision of Paul. Remember, Paul was God's chosen servant. And remember, Paul was in a city and he was running from the soldiers. And Paul hid in a basket and they lowered him over the side of the wall and he got away. And what God was showing me is that Paul wasn't captured until it was his time to be captured. But while Paul was waiting for his end to come, he continued to work for the Father. All right, always keep that in mind. The enemy can't touch you unless God allows it. And it doesn't mean that you're going to be in a life where bad things aren't going to happen. That's not true. But what happens when the bad thing happens is God strengthens you and he protects you. And I'm hearing him say he puts a wall of angels around about you to enclose you in and to keep you safe no matter what the danger is. You know, the other day, maybe a month ago, God said that the first will be last, last will be first. And he says that every so often. And I said, God, why do you say that? He said, because when I bring the last first, then I test them to see if they can make it. And when I'm through testing that group, then I shake the ones that aren't going to make it. And then I bring the ones that aren't making it first. And then the other group is last. This morning, God spoke very, very strongly to a lot of people in here. And I was sitting beside Adriana, and I kept hearing Adriana, so I knew God wanted to talk to her. But what he said was, he said, the afterglow of God will be seen upon her. I had never heard that before. The second time I had done it, the second mistake I made in doing the prophetic. And so I didn't say it. And I know if I would have said that, he would have spoke more into her life. So I told her afterwards of what I did wrong. I told her what God wanted to say to her. So I went home and I looked up the afterglow of God. It's a metaphorical term used to describe the spiritual effect of God's presence on an individual. That the term is derived from the biblical account of Moses, who after spending time in the presence of God, had a radiant glow on his face that reflected God's glory. The afterglow is a spiritual manifestation of God's glory that can be seen in the lives of those who have experienced his presence. It is a reflection of the divine nature and character of God that transforms and illuminates the lives of believers. And God had just said a couple weeks ago, the first or last, the last is first. People look at, and me including, they look at Adrienne and think, why didn't she grow up? I've told her that. You need to grow up. But see, God's grown her up. And because she got, you know, I stand on those that God has me mentor. And because she is growing, and you're going to see a different Adriana. And all you, anybody who has put her down is now going to say she truly was God's child all along. So watch how you judge people. You know, you never know what's going on in their private lives. And you never know what God is doing. Some of you husbands and wives, you need to stop looking at your spouses and thinking they're never going to make it. They're going to be first and you're going to be last. So watch what you say. All right. Jesus is good. But I would rather not say something I felt not sure of than say something and mess somebody's life up. Father, I just thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory. You truly are in our midst this night. You are here this morning in a very strong way. And I know that you're leading, guiding, and directing the people in this church in the path that you would have them to go. And Father, I thank you right now that you spoke to us to begin with, and you're still speaking to us as we go on this night. And Father, we just thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, you know, this is a word that I gave 4 years ago, but it's God's word. And I had four sermons together, and none of them would work. And so I just said, Saturday about 10 o'clock, God, all right, am I just going to go and do nothing? And so, lo and behold, this popped up. This popped up on my computer. And this answers a whole lot of questions, so we're just going to do this again tonight, all right? It's wait, align your heart. Wait, let your heart align with God's so His presence can lead you into the new. Let your heart align with God so His presence can lead you into the new. God wants His body to stand very quietly and hear our heartbeat. We are to ask for a realignment of our heart desires with His heart's desires. You know, too many of us are wanting our own heart's desires and not God's heart's desire, and we're getting ourselves all messed up. We don't know what we're going to go through till we one day sit in heavenly places. But God does. You know, I often think about Job, and, you know, I said, God, you know, you took a long time to get Job healed and put him back into the right place. And so, you know, that helps a little bit when you're going through a Job experience, understanding that God knows the exact time for all things to happen. All right, then he wants, or I said, we are to ask for a realignment of our heart desires with His heart desires. Then he wants us to ask Him to allow us to hear the stillness of the heavens. In the midst of our chaos, ask Him to let you hear sounds you have not heard. Tell Him you're listening and let Him circulate the atmosphere of heaven around you. Then let the cares of the day slip away so you hear the will of heaven. Don't go out in your own strength. Wait for the heartbeat of God to propel your heart forth. What is it? Don't go out in your own strength. Wait for the heartbeat of God to propel your heart forth. Some of you are contending over how others are moving forward. Some in the body are being awakened with anxiety, and they are questioning how they will ever get everything done so they can advance into their best in days ahead. But God is saying, this is what God is saying, my heart is not anxious. Wait for my heart to align yours. Stay in time with my heartbeat. Sit before me and listen now, and you will be energized to bring everything into order that seems confusing or is bringing disarray in your life. The beating of my heart positions my ark. You can't go forth this hour without my presence, so you must wait for the positioning of my presence. This is all involves today. Give me space. If you walk too quickly, you will stumble. Let the ark go before you. In my presence, you will be sure-footed. In my presence, you will see your way. In my presence, you will see your enemy. So look up, for the heavens are clear. Even though there is fog and debris in your path, the heavens are clear before you. In my presence, you're aware of all of your surroundings. You know when to turn right and to turn left. Your present scheduling of time is allowing the enemy to come in and find a way to change time. Your present scheduling of time, you're not God's, but yours, is allowing the enemy to come in and find a way to change time. You're not choosing the best. The best of what is what God's heart has for you. Then I said, allow His heart to beat within you so that the best can be yours. God is a God that can move just as easily behind you as in front of you. As we align ourselves with God, He will open up the way and guard our mistakes so they do not catch up with us again. So I said, allow His heart to beat within you so that the best can be yours. God is a God that can move just as easily behind you as in front of you. And, you know, my grandson's in the hospital right now, as you know. He just couldn't breathe. And I know now that he died once in the hospital and had a vision of hell because he's not living right. But I also know that in the home for the past week when he couldn't breathe and we were trying to help him, that the enemy was coming to get him. Just, and I won't go into all that right now, but now as I look back, I realize the enemy was there trying to take him before his time. And he would cry to me when the enemy is there, I'd pray, "My mom, pray as hard as you can pray for me." And when I prayed, I always told the devil, "You cannot have him, because he is appointed to teach God's word." You know, right now he's in the hospital still. They have a respirator on him because he really can't breathe. And as long as he just wheezes all the time. So, you know, and God told me a year ago, "I'm cleaning up your house like you asked me to, and you won't like some of the things that I'm going to have to do, but don't tie my hands." And so as I see some of the things that's going on in my house, I have to be still, even though I don't like some of the things he's doing, I'm not going to tie his hands. Because he knows how to clean up your house. I don't, but he does. Do I question some of the things he does? Yes, yeah, sometimes I do. But he knows that I don't even want an answer. I'm just, that little human side of me has to ask these questions, even though I know that I don't need an answer. And I'm quite sure some of you are doing the same thing. So God is saying, don't ford the next stream in front of you too quickly. Remember whenever God told us the glory was coming? In every service I said, "God, let today be the day the glory drops." Well, as we go along, you're going to see why it hasn't. All right, I said, don't ford the next stream in front of you too quickly. It is deceptive and deeper than you know. Allow my presence to go before you, and you will see the bottom of that place become a way before you. You will see dry ground before you step into the river that would attempt to sweep you away. Let my presence prepare the way before you. I will be able to redirect you to move to the right and then to the left to avoid the crash that is already in your path. How many of you pray whenever you pray, "God, whatever stumbling blocks Satan has played in my path, laid in my path today, please remove them so I don't stumble"? And I know that God does. But if you don't ask God to remove those stumbling blocks, you're going to fall into the traps that Satan has laid there before you ever got up in the morning. Are you understanding this? Where am I at? I lost my... That which would hit you head on will find its way past you, and you will find a path that will bring you fulfillment in your life. So if you don't get ahead of God, that which would hit you head on will find its way past you. It's not going to touch you. The concern you have over supply is driving you out of time and driving you ahead of what I have for you. Stay in my presence so you can see the path of supply that is ahead of you. Many of you are seeking deliverance, but that path is not formed and my ark has not entered your path yet. I'm going to stop there because I think Brother Allen was doing a deliverance and he said, "I can't get it to move." And God spoke just the other day he said, "It's not time yet." That spirit that was in that person, it was not time for that spirit to leave yet. And also, even with Christopher was doing a deliverance, and he called me and he said, "Are you hearing anything?" And God said, "It's not time yet. Leave that alone." And you know, and when God spoke those things, I was surprised. But then when I ran across this, then I understood what God was saying. If that person would be delivered from that thing right then and there, it would destroy them. They're not ready yet to have that void inside of them from that spirit leaving. Are you understanding this? So don't blame the deliverance minister if you're not free of a spirit. God knows when you'll be ready to let go of that thing. And he's even said they're not ready to let go yet, so just leave it alone. All right. God said, wait until you see my presence beginning to transform and open up and do surgery. Then deliverance will come quickly. See that? My path is a path of freedom. It is not one that I would have you strive to enter and walk in. And sometimes when you people call me, you know, because they always call me when they're getting ready to start a deliverance. So I'm praying and seeking God's face. And then whenever they call me, you know, I just say, it's not going to leave right now. And then they just stop. All right. Now, and God said, now my heart will beat with yours, for you have crossed over into a new beginning. Let my ark go first. Let my ark go before you. This will be a time of starting and stopping because of the new beginning you are in. You must start and stop with me. You must not try to come up without me calling you to come up. All right? It's just like that day when Sister Elizabeth was teaching, and you know, and God told me, I want you to come up to the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th heaven. And when I got up there, I had such an encounter with God. But I couldn't go there until he called me there. I've been praying, God, I hear there's a 10th heaven. I'd like to go there a couple years now. But at the right timing, when God knew I could handle it, he called me to 10th heaven. So what you, some of the things you're asking God to do, you just aren't able to deal with them yet. So don't get discouraged. God knows the exact time to deal with those things. You must not go to a platform that I do not call you upon, for the winds would be too brisk for you there. The winds would be too strong for you, and you would blow away instead of standing to see your next step. Now, Tiana sent me an email the other day, and the minute I started reading it, the Holy Spirit just went all over me as strong as it could. And so I know what she wrote was of God, and I know this is a timing. Are you understanding these things? You need to learn to walk in the Spirit. And I got the Spirit over me when I started saying that. But you need to learn to walk in the Spirit. And the Spirit will let you know when's the right time for all things. Somebody else sent me something, and God said, now it's not the right timing. It's a little off. And so we just wait until God said, now is the perfect timing. He might tell you to do something, and you get all excited. I do this. I get all excited, and I want to do it right now, you know. And God said, no. I said, why did you put this in my heart then? He said, I'll let you know the right timing. All right? Don't celebrate too quickly before me. Watch and wait, and you will see yourself celebrating. How many of you have ever done that? You've really seen in the spirit realm yourself doing something. You will see the victory ahead and will be liberated into the fullness of the next war that I have for you. You might ask yourself, why have I been positioned here in this mundane job when all I want to do is worship you? I would say you are there because of timing. Otherwise, you would get out of time and touch the ark rather than follow behind or carry the ark. Enjoy and celebrate the mundane assignments, and then you will see your ark move. And God always told me from the very first time I was born again, he said, never despise small beginnings. In other words, just take whatever he puts on my plate and deal with it, and you'll work for him, and he will raise me up. All right? So too many people want to be on top when they haven't even climb that ladder that God wants you to climb. And when you get on top, then you fall. You fail and you fall. All right, I was sitting there doing praise and worship, but I know that right now Sister Nancy's really having a hard time with her health right now. And I wanted God, I said, God, I'm going to bring her down and we're all going to lay hands on her. And God says, no, you're not. Now is not the right time. And you think, well, you know, healing. God wants us to lay hands on people and see them healed. But they're not quite ready yet to receive that healing. Are you understanding this? You know, we want people to be delivered, and we say, why aren't they delivered? It's because they won't be able to stand or even walk through the void that's going to be there when these things leave them. So, you know, and I'm talking to myself too. Let's not judge people when we don't, just because we speak to them or we hear God speak to them, that they aren't jumping through hoops with excitement. God spoke those words, but there'll be a right time for those words to come to pass. This is a season I am teaching my people how to enter into my presence. You must have my presence to secure your future. And you know, he's been calling us into his presence for years now. Without you being where I have placed you now, you could never understand my presence for your future. Without you being where I have placed you now, you can never understand my presence for your future. I am developing a testimony in you. Because of this testimony, you truly will enter into the new beginning and be repositioned in the days ahead. Allow me to develop and create the image for your future. If you will stand and allow me to prosper everything you put your hand to, no matter how mundane and insignificant it seems to you, then you will prosper. I've learned a long time ago never to question God. You know, he's given me a promise, but it might take years for it to come to pass, but I never question God. All right? God saying, O afflicted one, tossed and thrown, I am coming to comfort you. My voice will call you up in a new way. Do not try to come up in the same way you have come up in the past, for this is a day of new beginnings. What has God been telling you, well, me and in this church? Don't desire what you used to have, because what I have for you is so much greater than what I'm asking you to leave behind. And what we had was great, but God said what we're going to go walk into is even greater than what we had. All right? And I'm hearing God say, don't be stupid and jump ahead of me and lose out on everything that I have for you. All right, so I said, my voice will call you up in a new way. Do not try to come up in the same way you have come up in the past, for this is a day of new beginnings. In this new beginning, I'm bringing a renewal of covenant to my people. I am breathing on the way that I am agreeing with my people. In other words, he's agreeing with us. He's breathing his breath over it to make it come to pass. You are in agreement with some things that you must let go of. All right? That's very significant. I am not in agreement with those things. Break agreement that I might renew my covenant with you. You are in agreement with the way you see yourself, and that is not the way I see you. Unless you get my image, you cannot be transformed for your future. You must see yourself the way I see you. Now, let me stop there. The other night, I was sitting back there. I think Chris was preaching. Somebody was preaching in here. And I looked at this church, and I really was disgusted with it. Not people, the church, the building. And I said, God, I am so tired of this building. God was waiting for me to say that. Because I just thought, and I still think it's wonderful, but I thought this is just the most wonderful building in the world. And I know God's glory is here. And until I was tired of this building, he couldn't give me the new building. Are you understanding? I had to let go of this building in order to get a new one. And the other night that happened, and I told Teresa, I have never felt like that about this building. Are you understanding this? We're going to have to get disgusted with some things in our life before we can get what God really has for us. Where I'm at, I am breathing, is that where I'm at? No, God is calling forth the sure mercies of David. This is what I said. The sure mercies of David come through God and agree as one. God has taken us through the caves and the wilderness, but now he is ready to bring us to a new beginning. How many of us have been in those caves and in those wilderness? We say, God, is this ever going to end? Well, God wants to do that. The only thing that can stop this new beginning is you not yielding to God. See, that's why I couldn't get a new building or not receiving instruction from those God positions in your path to help you find the new way. Let me read that again. The only thing that can stop this new beginning is you not yielding to God or not receiving instruction from those God positions in your path to help you find the new way. If you agree with God, then his sure mercies that he poured out on his servant David, he will pour out on you. It was the witness that God was forming in David that enabled him to lead. Many of you are wanting to be out front without God's witness. Are you hearing that? Don't want to be out front. Don't want your name splashed everywhere. You know, who cares if somebody agrees with what you're doing, as long as God is leading, guiding, and directing you. And I'm going to tell you, these big ministries that a lot of people are running to, because they are a big ministry, they're not going to be the ones God's going to use. And then there you're going to be sitting amongst a bunch of dead people who are not in the Spirit and losing out on God. Jesus did not rub elbows, and we shouldn't either. He was after the souls, all right? There was a man who, I read his testimony years and years ago, where he died. But right before he died, he said, you know, they were around him, and he says, "Big God, I only saved one soul. I wasted all my time." And God said, "That one soul is the only one you should have ever saved. I had that one soul for you to bring into heaven, and you did a good job." All right? I know pastors that won't preach unless they have a certain number of people in their congregation. So what does that tell you? They're not truly after souls. They're after recognition. Wait for God to witness in your spirit before you go forward. This is a day of rearranging leadership and preparing you with enhanced skills. God is causing talents that have lain dormant within you to come forth. This is God's new beginning, so you must let him go before you to prepare the new beginning for you and bring you fully into it. So I said here, this is a day of rearranging leadership and preparing you with enhanced skills. All right, you hear this. God is causing talents that have lain dormant within you to come forth. All right, let's just take Tiana, who dances. I don't know how she danced before, but God spoke to her that his glory was going to rest upon her and she was going to dance like never before. She had some hidden talent down in there that God is finally bringing forth in his timing, not in hers. All right? We need to seek God while he may be found, for this is a month of seeking. God has spoken and said there will be 3 months to develop faith in a new way in you. God's word will become strong, and you will be called forth into that place. You will find yourself establishing and breaking the ground God has given you, but you must allow God to prepare you to stand on new ground. New ground. God's not going back the same way he brought us forth. Everything in front of us is brand new. And God is saying, my people do not have the mind for superabundance, nor do they have the strength to carry extra baskets. This is a season that extra baskets must be carried by my people, and you must carry them together. It's not a one-man, not a one-man show. Some of you would love to grab your baskets and run, but that will not get you into the fullness of the place where I would establish you. You know, when I first got born again, I went to a meeting, and there was a prophet there, and he called out, there's three women in here that God wants to come forth. So I'm just sitting there, two women went up, I'm sitting there looking all around, you know, and I'm thinking, why didn't that third one get up here so we can move on? And he looked at me and he says, it's you. Would you please just come up here? So, in the meantime, I had heard, you know, God say, this poor new God's voice, you need to go up there. And I didn't know what that was all about. But when I went up there, God spoke to me and said, I'm calling you forth as an evangelist. And you will evangelize the world for me. So when I started to church, I was out of God's will. I started to church because when I got kicked out of the church I was in, the people followed me. And I said, God, and I tried to get him to go back to church. He would not go back. And I said, God, I can't let these people just flounder out here. Do you mind if I just have a little home church for these, I don't know, about 10 people, I think it was. Well, he let me do that, but then and I did evangelize for a season. God brought me in off the road because he said I wasn't versed enough in how cruel the church is. And if he had left me out there, the church would have destroyed me. So he brought me in off the field to educate me on what Christians really are not. They're mean, they're cruel, they're vindictive, they're jealous, they're high-minded. This is what I'm hearing, so I'm just saying that. So I said all that to say this. I just feel with all my heart that God is going to put me back in evangelistic field. This church will still exist. It'll still be, you know, I'll still be the pastor, but he's going to be sending me out. And I've been telling the people, but God's trying to train up leaders to take over the church like they used to when I was out in the field before. And so the church will go on even though I'm not here. And I'm not leaving the church. I used to go evangelize, you know, and just come back. But the people in the church were so united and so strong that the glory of God stayed here, and God just kept performing miracles. And this, I feel with all my heart, that's what he's getting ready to do. And he told me that I have a Catherine Kuhlman anointing. And I read the other day where God is bringing the Catherine Kuhlman anointing to the forefront. And so if that's the case, then we'll just be one of those churches where miracles happen all the time. And see, you'll all be part of that. But yet you'll have your own ministries also. All right? It's like the hunters, you know, they always went back. Every Sunday they made sure they were in their home church, but yet they had their own ministry of healing. Or, do you understand what God's saying here? And I'm hearing you say, I'm getting you prepared and I'm doing a quick work so I can use you for my glory. All right, God said, find what I have given you, but know that I can cause it to multiply. Where you did not have anything but a sack, I can multiply it into 12 baskets. But there is no way you can carry the 12 baskets by yourself. You must get realigned and find those to work with you. I don't get jealous if you get up here and preach. I don't get jealous when God uses you to prophesy. That's my job. It's to teach you. Let God, you know, teach you, and so he can send you out to do your work that he wants you to do. And anybody that gets jealous and tries to be better than the person that's, you know, over them, then God's not going to use you. You must get realigned and find those to work with you. Know that it is the delight of my heart to bring my people into this new place. The new beginning has begun. I am teaching my presence in a new way. Do not look at ministry in the way that others have, for this is time of developing a witness and not a time of causing my people to be seen as ministers. You see that? My word does not return to me void, but it produces fullness. Watch for the fullness of my word to manifest. Brett, go back to that, the new beginning. The new beginning has begun. It's already in progress, guys. I am teaching my presence in a new way. Do not look at ministry in the way that others have. You know, you can't look at somebody else's ministry and do your ministry. For this is a time of developing witness and not a time of causing my people to be seen as ministers. Too many people want titles in front of their name. And God told me one time, I do not like titles, even though he's given me all the titles there is. You don't see them anywhere on paper. He doesn't like titles, but he will tell you what you truly are. And one day when he told me I was anointed in what, fivefold ministries, is it five or seven? You know, it totally blew me away because I don't see myself that way. But see, this is what he was saying. We don't see ourselves the way he sees us, and we need to start seeing ourselves as he sees us. It's not us that's bringing us forward. We're allowing God to do it. So watch for the fullness of my word to manifest. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You are limiting my highways to your thought processes. See that? I have other highways for you to travel and other ways for you to step in. You have gotten caught in the midst of a machine, and it is not what I am doing in your life. Like, I don't care what another church is doing. We just gather here together. And I've already talked to God and the Holy Spirit and given them control. And so whatever he does, that's what he does. Are you understanding this? Somebody came here in here new this morning, and I was sitting behind him watching him being bored to tears and then falling asleep. Thought song service was a bunch of junk. Then falling asleep during the message. And I'm trying to, I'm praying for this person. You know, God, let them change them, do this, that, and the other. It wasn't God's timing for that person. But I think everybody should get changed. Don't you? I just think everybody should know what we know, feel what we feel, and just want what we have. Doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. I look at you and think, how dumb can you get? Why are you still out there messing around? Why can't you just yield to God and let him change your life? All right, it is producing. Is that where I'm at? It is producing a blueprint that is not what I long for others to see in your life, you when you're wanting to be like everybody else is. In your gleaning, be very satisfied, for I am very near to you in the midst of the gleaning fields. Listen to my word and listen to my way, for others are watching you in a way that you have never been watched before. You are longing to gain audience with one, and it is someone else that I am causing to see you. Let's read that again. Listen to my word and listen to my way, for others are watching you in a way that you have never been watched before. You are longing to gain audience with one, and it is someone else that I am causing to see you. All right, so I might want... I'll just say Nancy's a ministry. I want Nancy to see me, and really see what God's doing. And God doesn't want Nancy to see me. He wants somebody else to see me because she's not going to appreciate what God's doing, but this other person will. Does that make sense to you? Even now there are Pharaohs who are watching and observing you, and it is those that will favor you, my people. This is a day of transference of wealth, but you must be connected with those who have amassed it for my kingdom plan. In other words, he's saying get around those that have the money already that can transfer it to you. Don't shun them just because they have money. I know who can release it. God knows who has the money and who will release it. I can realign it. All right? This word will not return void. If you wait for your heart to realign, then instead of void and chaos being on your path, there will be baskets full of my blessings. Wait and watch, for my presence has now realigned with you, and you will be aware of my presence at every turn. Then I would encourage you to read Isaiah 55. Verse 2 says, listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, let your soul delight in abundance. And that's Isaiah 55. All right, now, right now, repeat this out loud with me. Soul, I command you to rise up and delight in abundance. That's all I want you to say. All right? If we are going to experience God's abundance, then the desires of our hearts must be in alignment with the delight of God. Are you seeing this? If you're striving over supply, stop until you can delight in abundance. If you're striving over supply, stop until you can delight in abundance. I say, God, you can just give me abundance anytime you want to. And I'll just shout hallelujah all over the place. If we are going to experience, I read that. The Lord is saying, incline your ear and come to me. I decree that you are going to hear how to come forth. You're going to hear God's voice, and you're going to know how to come forth. You will not come forth in the same way as you did in the past. because the Lord is not calling you forth in the same way. And I mean to tell you that it's the absolute honest truth. God's not calling me forth the same way he did before. It's a whole different ball game, and it's a way I've never been before, and I really have to stay close to God so I don't go astray and do something dumb. And each one of us in here, we are in a new era. We are on a new path. And God is doing different things in each one of our lives. Don't try to be like somebody else. Remember my story when I first was preaching. I was trying to be everybody. And then one day I said to God, "Who am I?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "You're out there copying everybody else. I don't know who you are." He said, "I called you and I called your personality, but you're trying to be Kenneth Hagin, you know, and all these other ones out there." And he said, "It's not working." So, you know, be yourself. I keep telling you this, be yourself. And then let God use you as with your personality. But just make sure you're aligned with God and what he's trying to do in your life. And I don't care what you've done in the past. That's all a testimony. These are all things that's going to help you bring other souls into the kingdom. And you'd be surprised how many people you touch with your testimony. I get so many emails with people saying, "I listened to you today and you really changed my life by your testimony." So you know, don't hate your testimony. Don't hate your past. It's going to set others free who are in the very same predicament you were in, and God brought you out of it. Now you can talk to them with assurance of heart that what God did for you, he can do for anybody. All right? So wait. Don't jump ahead of God. You know, I was going around watching, looking at every building, every place I went. Is that the building? Is that the building? Finally, I quit because I was never hearing anything. And so the other night when I got tired of this building, now I'm still not going to go anywhere and say, "Is this the building?" I'm just going to wait because God will let me know what building. And remember, he said it was going to be a building, a new building, completely have everything that we needed free. Just move into it. It'd be going to be free. And here I'm sitting in this little dinky little four walls, falling apart, thinking this is the best thing in the world. And, you know, God's been telling me for a couple of years, he said, "You don't think big enough. You settle for second best. I want you to have the very best." This is definitely second best. A brand new building would be the very best, wouldn't it? Some of us, you know, we're jumping to, I'm just heard this, I'm going to say it, you're jumping to conclusions in your own life, and you think you want one thing, but that is not what God wants you to have. You know, you think that you deserve something better, but when God gives you something, it's the very best. I'm talking about relationship, anything, new car, new bank account, whatever. You know, what God gives you is the very best, and he knows when you can handle that thing. He's not going to give you the very best until you've proven to him you can handle it. And I'm even hearing him say love relationships are so twisted because he said you've been picking your own mates, and you won't allow him to pick your mates for you. So stick that in your little hat and think about it, all right? Well, Father, I truly do thank you for once again reminding us that we have to be aligned with your will and not ours. And God said, tell the people to come forth to the altar. And as I even see some of you running to the altar. God is going to give you a brand new mindset. And it's not going to be your will, but it's going to be the Father's will 100%. And as you do this, and I just see God, it's just the glory of God just falling. And he said, you'll no longer follow the masses, but you'll only follow the still small voice of the Father. So the altar's open for that if you want to be led by the still small voice of the Father.